We asked Ron Van Dam how he thinks he comes across to his listening audience.
Bubbly and wonderful and funny all the time.
Wait, what? Whoa. Hold on. Have you listened to yourself recently? And by recently, I mean any time in the last 30 years of broadcasting? Because, wow. Okay, live the dream, Ronnie. You are listening to Ron Van Dam on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
I'm bubbly.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
I am bubbling. Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm Ron Van Dam, and that would make this the Ron Van Dam Show. If I had a different name, we might find a different title. What's your point? What are you trying to say? What? Just come out and say it. All right, that's enough. Oh, come on, that's enough. Welcome to the show. I am bright and bubbly, and shut up if you don't think I am. I feel grumpy today. I feel annoyed. My bones are creaking. You know, when you open a door really slowly and the hinges haven't been oiled since 1827 and the door creaks, that's what my bones feel like and sound like. Yeah, I don't know. Some mornings I wake up and I feel like I'm 120 years old, and other mornings I wake up and I feel like I'm 230 years old. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, how are you feeling? As if I cared. Thank you so much. Do you do that to people? You do, don't you? You know, you're a very kind person. You're very, very smart and very intelligent. And I know that when you walk up to people whom are not part of your family, who you don't really care to be with for more than, maybe 6 minutes, I know you ask them, how are you doing? And I know that's just like a greeting. You don't care. Let's be honest about this. Come on, let's throw it all on the floor. Let's be transparent like tape. Well, scotch tape. Other tapes are not necessarily transparent. Masking tape is not transparent. What's up with that? I struggle with masking tape. Try this. Buy some masking tape. Buy a little roll of masking tape just for fun. Get it from the dollar store or something. And then try to peel off a piece of masking tape, you know, a strip of masking tape. You can't do it. Masking tape will not unadhere from itself. Thus, one of the problems with masking tape. And then when you want to use the masking tape to stick to something on the wall or something, it won't stick. It makes no sense. It sticks when you don't want it to stick. Where have you heard that before? Tell me quickly. That's also, you know, super glue also astounds me. I don't know who invented that, or I think that was by mistake. But super glue, I don't know what's in that stuff. It scares the hell out of me. Can you imagine getting a little super glue on your finger and then your eye is itching because you have allergies and you touch your eye and you actually have super glue? Oh my God, you wouldn't be able to open your eye forever anymore. How is it possible that you can open up the cap of a super glue if it's super glue inside. Wouldn't it stand to reason that you can't, because it's super glue, that you can't get the cap off? It's glued. Or if they have that little piece of foil at the top and you have to penetrate that, how does the foil come off? If there's super glue inside, the foil should never come off because it's super glued. I don't understand the properties of super glue. And Ron, if that's your biggest problem today, I think things are going to be okay. Choose your battles. Let's not spend a whole half hour talking about super glue and how you wonder how the cap can come off. Is that really what you want to do? No, it's not. It's not what I want to do. Anyway, when you walk up to somebody and you say, how are you doing? You really don't care, because the problem is they may respond to you about how they're doing, and then you're stuck because you ask the question. It happens to me all the time. Hey, how you been? How you doing? Well, last week I was driving my car and I ran out of gas and I had to call AAA, and they came like about 6 hours later and I had to call back and say, hey, where's your truck? I was waiting and waiting, and finally they come and they say, oh, you are out of gas. And they ran down to the gas and got gas for me, brought it back, put it in my car, tried to set the car up, tried to start the car up, and then the spark plugs are dying. I said, so I had to call AAA back again. They said, well, I don't know if you can get two visitations in one day. What are you talking about? I have my spark plug. The guy grabbed the gas, now it's spark plug. And my sister's in the hospital. She's got toenail fungus, and it got out of control and spread all over her bedroom. And I don't know, now she's in intensive care for no reason. She didn't have any other beds. There's nothing really wrong with her. So she got released, and that's fine. Everything's great. Last night I had spaghetti and meatballs. Those meatballs, not too good. I don't know. I mean, there's a supermarket I go to, and the supermarket really isn't very good. Every time I get food from that supermarket, I always throw up afterwards. It's really stupid and really disgusting. I don't like that supermarket because the food they have isn't, and the shelves are always empty. What's with that? What's up with that? I mean, I don't have a baby, but if you don't have baby formula for your baby, what's the point of having babies? Stop having babies. That's what I said to my sister, who was lying in bed with the toenail fungus in the hospital. I said, why do people actually have babies? They have babies in these hospitals, don't they? Isn't this where these things are born? It's crazy. They should just stop that immediately and just have them go somewhere else, because there's no baby formula. What are you having babies for if there's no baby formula? It doesn't make sense to me. Why would you do? Why would you buy a car if there's no gasoline? It doesn't make any sense unless you had an electric car. Then you got to plug it in. What if there's a power outage and you can't plug your car in? So there's a power outage in your house. You can't plug your car in, then you don't go anywhere and you're stuck in your house anyway. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. While everybody else is driving around with gasoline in the car, you can't drive around because you have an electric car and you have no power. It's absolutely ridiculous. Where are you supposed to go? Hey, you want to go up to the Vermont tomorrow? No. My car doesn't go that far. It only goes up to New Hampshire, and that's it. I can't go to Vermont. It's too far from my car. I don't have that kind of mileage. Is there a place to plug it in? Can I do you walk up to somebody's door and say, excuse me, can I use your outlet? My car is out of electricity. They say, get out of here. What the hell's wrong with you? And by the way, how's your sister? Well, she's no cells in the hospital. She's got that toenail fungus starting to clear up, but it's going to be another couple of weeks. I'm not sure you can fly with toenail fungus. Don't you have to get like a negative test? Oh my God, all I did was ask you how you were. Don't do that. Don't ask people how they are. That could happen. Look, I'm just trying to help you. I don't do this show for my own entertainment. Believe me, this is not fun for me. But I need to do it in order to keep you aware of things that could happen that could be catastrophic, like when you ask somebody how their day is. Don't do that. Don't do that. There's a commercial on television, it's McDonald's. Oh my God, that place. Oh. Here's a problem with McDonald's. I'll tell you what the problem with McDonald's is right away. If you don't know what the problem with McDonald's is, I'll tell you right now. They are contributing to the stupidity of America. And it's not just if you're stupid enough to go to McDonald's that's a problem. Well, it is. Their commercials are just demeaning. You know, we try to teach our kids proper English, proper grammar. Here's a recent McDonald's commercial. Tell me what you think is wrong with it. And if you can't tag what it is, then you're a problem. What's wrong with this very short McDonald's commercial? Here we go. Listen to this. Here we go.
A pounder operation revolves and relies on one hot and deliciously juicy hunk of quality beef. The hottest, juiciest quarter pounder yet. Made with 100% fresh beef. It's perfect. Made perfecter.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Well, it's not the ba-da-ba-ba-ba, which is annoying. Made perfecter. There's also a commercial for the Big Mac and the McChicken sandwich, two foodstuffs that will kill you instantly. If you ever want to poison somebody because you don't like them, give them a McDonald's coupon. It works. I'm kidding, McDonald's. It's all right. Anyway, in the commercial, they say that you can buy the two for $3.50, which is quite a deal. I mean, like cyanide pills are probably getting real cheap, too. Doesn't mean you should take them. I'm clearing my throat. Anyway, the Big Mac and the double burger or something. I don't know. And the McChicken, $3.50. I don't know if you bundle them together, it's $3.50, or individually it's $3.50. I have no idea. But in the commercial, it says this combination is perfect. Now made perfecter, or made more perfecter. Look, here's the problem, if you haven't caught it already. You can't say more perfecter. You can't say it. If you say that, and that catches on, and you have kids walking around going, well, how is your day today, little Jimmy? Oh, it's perfect. Actually, it couldn't be more perfecter. You would look at Jimmy and say, "What? You're a moron. You're a moron, Jimmy." Well, I got it from the commercial at McDonald's. Of course you did. You're a moron. And God, McDonald's has got to step it up, man. You can't teach children. McDonald's is, it's not for adults. If you're an adult and you go to McDonald's, you haven't grown up yet. If you're a kid, you don't know any better. I get it. They have those little toys that they used to give with the thing, with the Happy Meal. And by the way, I don't know why they call it the Happy Meal, because you try eating one of those things. About an hour later, you're not real happy. That or you're happy you found a toilet quickly. One or the other. They have little prizes in there. Like they think they're Cracker Jack. Millennials don't know what I mean. Cracker Jack, they used to have a little toy that broke immediately in Cracker Jack boxes. Sometimes they were cool, sometimes they weren't. And that's what they put in a little popcorn and candy box. Oh my God, say millennials. Where do I get one of those? They still sell them, but they're not as popular. Oh, McDonald's, come on, man. The only thing worse than McDonald's is Burger King. I mean, I prefer Burger King because they're flame broiled. I don't know what that means either. Do they have a gigantic barbecue grill in the back in a Burger King restaurant? No, they don't. And I use the term restaurant to describe that place. I don't know what flame broiled means. I mean, I know what it means, but I don't think they're really doing it. If they're flame broiled and there's some 13-year-old kid with pimples with a Bic lighter holding it under the piece of meat, other than that, I can't figure out how that's even possible. But the problem with Burger King is they actually have a crown that you can put on your head, a paper crown. It's embarrassing enough to walk into one of those places. It's more embarrassing to wear a paper crown on your head while you're eating that stuff publicly. It couldn't be more perfecter. But going back to McDonald's, they definitely can top that because their icon, their symbol, is a clown. Yes, a 20-foot-high clown. I can't explain it either. I can't explain it either. It's a hobo sitting on a park bench eating a hamburger. And then they have the ham McBurglar, I think it is. The Hamburglar. God, one of those broke into my house a couple of years ago and took all the meat out of my house. Now I have a Hamburglar security system. Come on, man. Who are you trying to kid? I had a friend who died from fast food. This part is serious and true. His name was Evan. Lived in New Jersey. Was a childhood friend. I hooked up with him about 30 years later. Oh, yeah, I'm 30 years old. I'm sorry. I have to laugh here. Yeah, about 30 years later, I hooked up with him, and it was just great to see him. I don't live in New Jersey anymore. That's where I lived when I was a child for a period of time, and that's when I had this best friend, Evan. Evan has the coolest job in the world. He worked at WOR, Channel 9 in New Jersey, which is also a New York station, and what he did all day was he sat in front of a whole bank of television screens, and he would make sure that the signal is going out and that the commercials were properly inserted into the television programs. A really cool job. He could say, I have a job in television. Well, you kind of do. So I visited him, and he's sitting there, and there's like fast food all over the place, because all he does is he sits and he watches television all day at this television station. He's a video engineer is what they call it. So let's go to lunch. Where do you want to go there, Evan? He says, well, I always go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I said, oh, okay. I come all the way down here to have Kentucky Fried Chicken in a bucket. But he says, no, it's really, really good. The chicken is wonderful. It couldn't be more perfecter. The coleslaw is, oh, man, but that chicken, I'll eat like a bucket of it every day. Oh, Evan. And Evan was not fat. He was rather skinny, so I didn't quite understand that. But every single day, he's eaten a bucket of chicken. Holy, for 30 years? So we go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. He's eaten out of a bucket. And again, skinny. I don't understand it. And I'm sitting there wondering what to eat. I mean, you know, like, can you give me extra coleslaw? Because I can't eat the rest of this crap. About a year later, I get a notification on my email from his wife. He passed away, and I wondered what from, and it was a heart attack. I didn't have to think very far as to how this may have occurred. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't think that food is meant to be consumed on a regular basis. I don't think that was the meaning of it. I guess the fast food companies are happy that you're doing that, but it's probably not the best idea in the world. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, my guest is going to join us. That should be fun for everybody. But until then, we've got this.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel in the schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dancers. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her, so live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
John Lopez joins us now. He's CEO of the National Sleep Foundation, and that's a good connection because, when I talk to people, they all say, you know, I'm not getting enough sleep. I mean, that seems to be like the mantra now. Do you find that to be true? People are saying, I don't sleep as well as I used to.
Well, we're certainly, good morning, by the way. It's certainly something that we hear. that people want to sleep better. They want to get more of that quality sleep that they, you know, people know, especially in the next day when they really haven't had a good night's sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And we all know what that feels like, right?
Yeah.
And so, yes, we can all do a little bit better. There are some small steps that we recommend people can do both in the day and at night.
Mm-hmm.
Get the quality sleep that we want and need. So our promise to the public at National Sleep Foundation is mm-hmm. to help anyone and everyone be their best slept self. And here's how. Starting with the day, mm-hmm. it's bright light. We all need bright light to start off the day. It's tied to our circadian, our body clock.
Really?
And so that's one of the first recommendations that we make.
Oh.
It's better to get it outside from the sun if you can, but if not, for different reasons, there are lighting solutions that can be used indoors. The next is exercise. And we know that not enough of us are getting the exercise, but even 20 to 30 minutes of exercise a day, vigorous exercise, is going to help our sleep at night. And then consistent meals. We should be eating our meals mm-hmm. at consistent times day after day.
Yeah.
Those are three small steps we can take during the daytime to help our sleep at night.
Okay, now let me ask you about a couple of those steps. Let's talk about the exercise. Is there a better part of the day for exercising to promote sleep later on?
Yeah, there are different studies that have maybe different results, but what we concluded ourselves after doing some polls and some work a while back is as long as you're getting the exercise.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It used to be that the recommendations were not to exercise too close to bedtime. That still is a recommendation from some groups, but I think we'd land on just get the exercise when you can.
Okay.
I mean, you don't want to be charged up before you try to go to sleep because we're recommending that people actually have a wind down. I'll get to that.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's, you know, whenever you can get it.
Okay. And let me go back to the eating, to have meals at specific times as a routine. What's the latest that one should eat before they go to bed?
Well, so that's a great question, and that ties into our nighttime recommendations.
Okay.
We should be avoiding heavy meals a couple hours before bedtime. Right. And also, we should be avoiding nicotine and caffeine and alcohol.
Yes.
Now, if I can continue, because you know you brought up exercise and when during the day, but let's get to that relaxing wind down routine at night.
Okay.
Now, this is something that we all should think of what works for us. It's going to mm-hmm. be different for everyone, but you know, an hour or so before we want to go to sleep, you know, we should be winding down at night. Something relaxing, like maybe it's the shower or the bath,
mm-hmm.
or maybe it's reading a book or listening to music or some tea. We would not recommend a nightcap.
Yeah.
But a relaxing wind down routine. And then finally, it's that sleep friendly environment. And to us, that means that's a place that's cool and dark and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And that also then means that we should be putting our screens away about an hour or so before.
Okay.
Before bedtime. Screens
okay.
and sleep friendly.
All right. Some people sleep with the TV on or something like that, you know, in the background with the sound off. Not a good idea?
Well, you know, the thing about sleep is it's all individualized.
Yeah.
But we would not recommend that people have a screen on,
yeah.
television on. You know, and we all know about, you know, conking out in front of the TV.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't recommend that, not just because of the light,
yeah.
The blue light, but also because, you know, we're processing. It's the same thing with you know, mobile devices and screens.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the light. It's that we're processing.
Processing.
Our brains are
yeah.
working.
Yeah.
We're scrolling or streaming. And great thing about streaming is you can stream any time of day.
Yeah. What about, let me ask you this. Some people, I have this problem because I have an overactive mind. Otherwise, I wouldn't be in this business, unfortunately.
Sure.
When I turn off the lights, lie down, go to sleep, and my brain's still going, I tried counting sheep. I'm up to like 5,000. How do I clear my head?
Well, I mean, I would just say that the first place to start is, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but
yeah.
you know, do you have a wind down? Do you actually have a wind down routine? That, you know, consistency when it comes to sleep,
mm-hmm.
consistency is really everything.
I see.
So, you know, the first thing that we would recommend to people is implementing that wind down, and maybe that's a place to start.
Okay.
You know, out, outside of that, Ron, you know, we don't give medical advice at National Sleep Foundation, mm-hmm. but you know, one of the things we understand is that
seek help.
You know, if people are in bed, and you know, a lot of the recommendations that that other sleep experts and clinical experts make is that yeah. you know, if you're in bed
yeah.
and you can't fall asleep in bed, it's time to get out of bed, and that's because we become conditioned to being awake in bed.
Uh-huh.
So
okay,
so there are specific recommendations around that an expert will give. Yeah, yeah.
So the bed should be the place for sleep and sex every once in a while, but basically sleep.
Well, you named the two.
Okay, and that's it. What about when, now sometimes I'll be watching TV and I start falling asleep and my wife says, why don't you just go up to bed? And I go, no, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. I want to see the end of this movie or I want to see the end of this show. Is that a bad idea?
Right.
Is my body's telling me to go to sleep, but I'm fighting it in order to stay up. Is that bad?
Well, I would listen to your wife.
Yeah,
And I would say yes. If you know, listen to your body.
Mm.
Listen to your body. I mean, we already know that, you know, if it's late at night and or if it's close to your bedtime,
yeah.
you know, time to start to get away from the screens.
Yeah.
And certainly if you're still falling asleep, it's time to go to bed.
Okay. A couple of more questions. It's the summer. It doesn't get dark where I live until like about 8:30 at night and then some. That's concern for me because sometimes I'll go to bed earlier. Do people yeah. have problem with that change in sunlight thing?
Oh, that is a real challenge, Ron. It's a real challenge with the scheme of daylight saving time
yeah.
because we're kind of pinching daylight from the day and you know at least as the clock goes
yeah.
and making it available at night. You know, we actually have a position at National Sleep Foundation, it's the same as a lot of science-based organizations, and that is the clock change is not good.
Right.
We should eliminate the clock change.
I agree.
But where we land after that, where we land after that should be in permanent standard time. Permanent standard time is actually closer to nature
yeah.
and the way our bodies work with respect to the sun. So that light at the end of the day can absolutely cause a problem for sleep.
I agree. I like it when it gets dark at 5:30 in the winter. This light at 9 o'clock at night is not good. And I think they're going to get rid of that daylight savings time thing and just stay on standard the year after next. I believe, is that true?
Well, we hope that's where it lands on permanent standard time.
Yeah.
There's movement towards eliminating the clock change, and we and other science based organizations.
Yeah.
are advocating for permanent standard time yeah. after we eliminate the clock change.
Okay. All right. All right. Now let's talk about the consequences of sleep loss. What indeed if you don't get enough sleep? I mean, what can happen?
Yeah, that's pretty clear. First, you know, for over 30 years, National Sleep Foundation, as part of our mission, has been to educate the public about the connection between their sleep and their overall health and well-being. And so we know that when we're not getting enough of the quality sleep that we need, it does lead to negative health consequences. And that can be heart disease. It can be hypertension or high blood pressure. It can be mental health issues. It could be diabetes or obesity. And it even has an impact on our immune function. So the data are there, the effects are real, and that's why we're spending our focus on helping everyone be their best slept self.
Well, John, you've given us a lot of information in a short period of time. Where do we go to get the full story?
Well, absolutely more is available at our website. There's only one National Sleep Foundation, and our website is vnsf.org. Again, that's vnsf.org. where people can go to get more content and education about sleep and sleep health. They can see what the National Sleep Foundation is doing to help people get the sleep that they need. And there are specific tips there for people, for anyone and everyone to be their best slept self.
Okay. Now, one more time, the website, slowly there.
It's vnsf.org.
Excellent.
vnsf.org.
You got it. Hey, John, thanks so much. National Sleep Foundation, thank you so much for the information. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, Ron. Thanks to you and all your listeners.
Thank you. All right, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful. I'll be back again tomorrow. Thank you to my guest, by the way. And, of course, well, what can I say? Nothing. What could be more perfecter than that? Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.